Chapter 14. Reed knocked on the doorframe of my temporary office.
Sir, is this still a thing?
What thing?
Your open door policy.
Oh, yes, sort of. Come in, sit down. I had that policy while I was captain to let the crew know they could come directly to me with any concerns. We were still working out how to live aboard a spaceship for long-duration flights, and I waved a hand, developing the rules as we went along. She nodded, not needing me to explain. She had been there while we were making up the rules.
Door is still open?
To you and to Frey. I'm not going to interfere with your command of the ship. Your crew should go through the chain of command.
Thank you.
The tight expression on her face relaxed a bit. She was no longer clenching her jaw. Having said that, if someone approaches me in the gym, I'm not going to be a dick about it.
I wouldn't worry about that, sir.
Her face broke into an easy smile.
Of the crew who served with you before, there are only me and Major Motwani still aboard now.
Motwani? I searched my memory.
Engineering specialist?
Yes, sir. Propulsion.
My point is, I think most of the crew is afraid to talk to you. You're kind of a legend, sir.
She cast her eyes down for a moment, embarrassed. I hope you don't feel that way, Reed. She grinned.
I've seen you trip over your own feet on the basketball court.
Good. The grin faded.
I've also seen you do some pretty incredible shit, sir. Saving the world. Saving the entire galaxy.
I had a lot of help.
Still, it was an honor serving with you back then.
It is now. But.
Sir?
I sense a but. She took a breath.
We've had flag officers aboard before. Twice. The crew is used to the protocol. The difference with you is you're not just hitching a ride. You're more hands-on.
I don't intend to interfere with how you run your ship, Colonel.
There are times when you should. Sir, you sitting behind me on the bridge, it doesn't work for either of us or the ship. When you need to take command quickly in a crisis, I shouldn't be looking away from the display to see what you want.
Okay, fair enough. You have a solution?
I do. When you're on the bridge, please take the first officer's chair. It has the same functions and capabilities as my command chair, and you'll be right next to me, working together.
I noticed she had referred to the center seat as my command chair. Reed was not shy. I liked that. Commander Gasquet is okay with this?
He would be relieved if you sat next to me. Right now, he's caught in the middle, and it's awkward. He's a good XO. He knows that. He should be getting a command of his own within the year.
That reminded me of something I meant to ask her. Pressing a button, I slid the door closed. She tensed.
There's not a problem, Colonel. I want your assessment of your crew.
It's in the report, sir. Not everything is in a written report, you know that. Valkyrie has mostly been on show-the-flag missions for the past 4 years, flying Skippy around on his victory tour. The ship, this crew, hasn't seen serious combat for most of a decade. Certainly they haven't seen the kind of crazy shit the Merry Band of Pirates got into. If the shit hits the fan tomorrow, is your crew ready? Before you answer, you know what I mean about shit hitting the fan. We could soon be fighting an elder AI. I told General Chang this could be another damned save the galaxy thing. If something happens to you, can your XO move into your seat and take over without losing a beat? She frowned and bit her lip.
Can I have some time to think about it, sir?
You have until we reach Xandros. Think about your entire crew, not just Gasquet. Everyone must be able to step up, I snapped my fingers, in an instant.
I will. Review the senior positions.
She knew I didn't expect her to evaluate everyone aboard the ship. That was for their section leaders. If you need to replace someone, I will say it's my decision.
You don't have to do that, sir.
Your crew should respect you, not fear you.
Let me know.
Reed left, and I leaned my chair back, staring at the ceiling. Aboard a ship, the ceiling is technically called an overhead, but I'm a soldier, not a sailor.
Hey, Joe.
There was a flare of light as Skippy's avatar appeared. Hey, I responded, not turning my head to look at him.
When did you get so ruthless?
Huh? The chair flopped back upright. Oh, you mean my discussion with Reed?
Exactly.
That's not being ruthless, it's being focused and determined. We need to be ready for a hell of a fight, Skippy. If an Elder AI is out there, and I already told you that is not possible, I will make a note of it, along with all the other things you told me were impossible. Ugh, Joe, he sighed. I thought we were done with doing crazy, impossible stuff. Me too. Someone out there didn't get the memo. I still say you have become ruthless. When did that happen? I'm not that dumb, scared kid anymore. Yeah, I am still scared. Scared of the enemy. Not scared of myself. Remember how I used to doubt myself all the time? Wow, I have no memory of that. Now, I definitely doubt whether I know what I'm doing as a father, but I don't have time for second-guessing myself as a senior officer. If you say so, I do. If you have to replace some of the crew, do you know who you will bring aboard? That's the problem, isn't it? You know I told Reed that I'm getting the band back together? Really, this will be like a classic rock band that goes on tour with two original members and a bunch of young new people. We can play our old hits, but that's it. We can't write any new hits, and the audience hates it when we play new stuff. I sure hope you're wrong about that. Why? If you're right, and there is another Elder AI screwing around out there, we need to try something we've never done before. Staring at him, I got a sinking feeling in my stomach. Why is that? An Elder AI will have studied every move the Merry Band of Pirates made, everything I did. We can't use any of our old tricks this time. On that sour note, Skippy went away to do whatever he was doing while I thought about what we would do when we reached Xandras. That would partly depend on what we found when we arrived. We knew that our Operation Sunset troops had gotten themselves into a mess on Xandras, but that wasn't their fault. Technically, the mess also was not the fault of Emily Perkins or the Mavericks. Okay, yes, Perkins and her Mavs got themselves into sticky situations a lot, like way too often. But that is because when DEFCOM has a difficult task that is likely to deteriorate into a total fucking disaster, the Mavericks get sent in. It's their thing. And any time the Verds are involved, a disaster is much more likely. Even I warned DEFCOM not to get involved on Xandras. The Verds got themselves into the mess there with the help from their former patrons, the Ruhar. Humanity had a mutual defense treaty with the Verd, Chris. They were not our client species. The treaty was very one-sided in humanity's favor, and the role of the Verds was very much what it would be under a patron-client relationship. But freedom-loving humans do not impose our will on other species. Of course not. How dare you suggest such a thing? Whatever. The Verds were happy about what they got out of the deal, and it was working out pretty well for us also. Which reminds me, we do have a client species. Unofficially. That relationship was unofficial only in that the terms patron and client were not mentioned in any of the arguments both sides had signed, but legal details do make a difference. Who were our new, our first client species? The Urgar. Your brain probably responded with, who the fuck are the Urgar? You're not alone. Something like 95% of the population of Earth had never heard of that poor, unfortunate group of aliens before they became our responsibility. A small group of aliens. Their entire remaining population was only 20,000. Their numbers had been so drastically reduced by oppression, harsh living conditions, neglect, and by the outright genocidal policies of their previous clients, that poor genetic diversity was a major factor working against their continued existence. The Urgar, if you need a memory refresh, were clients of the squid-like Wergalan, who in turn are clients of the little green cyborg jerk Theranin, who are themselves clients of the supreme asshole Maxulks. The Urgar were minding their own business on their homeworld, blissfully unaware of the interstellar war that had been raging across the galaxy, until a wormhole shift opened access to their little sector of the Sagittarius arm. If that sounds familiar, it should. The fate of the Urgar very likely would have been our fate if we didn't have a little help from our friends. One friend in particular, Skippy the Magnificent. So, the Urgar were on their own, having achieved technology roughly equivalent to Earth in the 17th century, with wooden sailing ships and cast iron cannons that used a form of gunpowder, but no electricity yet, no steam engines. The Urgar had been stuck at that level for several centuries because their homeworld was poor in metals other than iron. Their star system also had an unusual number of dangerous rocks swirling around,
the result of a rogue planet that passed through the system 1.5 million years before. Rocks and comets, some of them rather large, routinely pelted the Urgar's planet, smashing things, causing havoc such as tsunamis and widespread fires, and plunging the world into mini ice ages for about 2 decades every century. That is a tough environment in which to build a civilization, but the Urgar did it. Then their progress ran into a bulldozer in the form of the Wargalan. The squids had been ordered by their patrons to find a place to construct a base in the newly accessible sector, a base that would be used by the Theranin for their own convenience. The little green pinheads had gotten a bit too enthusiastic about expanding their territory, overextended their resources, and the Giraptha knew it. The beetles took advantage of the Theranin spreading themselves too thin by launching a lightning offensive that forced the cyborgs to pull back into a defensive posture, which left the Wargalan exposed on the Urgar homeworld, their supply lines cut off for 17 years. Fortunately, the Wargalan invaders and the natives worked together for their mutual benefit in the difficult circumstances. Ha! I'm joking. The Wargalan, feeling threatened by the natives who had only a crude level of technology but an overwhelming population, decided to preemptively deal with the problem by reducing the native population by 99.8%. The clandestine Theranin biological weapons deployed in the plague were even more effective than advertised, so the Wargalan must have been pleased they had spent the money wisely. Yes, biological weapons are against the rules. But nobody bothered to investigate when the primitive natives began dying of a horrible disease. As I have said before, the rules were written by the two senior species for their own benefit. They did not give a shit about the lowly Urgar. Wargalan colonist records from the time complain about the horrible smell from the rotting bodies of several 100 million natives that was apparently quite unpleasant. By the time the Theranin restored contact with the by-then-thriving Wargalan colony, fewer than 250,000 Urgar remained. Rather than being shocked by the drastic, murderous actions of their clients, the Theranin merely shrugged, barely noticing that the natives were almost extinct. They did notice, with outrage, that little progress had been made in constructing a supply base, and the fact that the planet had been cut off for 17 years was not accepted as an excuse. That is when the Wargalan got the bright idea to harshly use the natives as slave labor, an initiative that greatly accelerated the rate at which the Urgar population was already declining. Anyway, by the time the poor, miserable, downtrodden, and abused Urgar approached humanity for protection, they had been kicked off their homeworld, surviving on a barely habitable moon. The surviving 20,000 Urgar at that point existed only for the prestige of the Wargalan, so the squids could claim they were a patron species. How did a species on the very bottom of the ladder, a species with zero resources, become humanity's first clients? Easy. They followed a well-tested playbook. The Urgar are not the most intelligent species in the galaxy, although no one knows how smart they would be if they had been left alone to develop on their own. What we do know is that their surviving population is just that. Survivors. Crafty. Cynical. Ready and willing to do anything they have to so their species can live for one more day. They were mostly isolated and had very limited access to technology or any off-world communications except whatever junk equipment their patrons discarded. Junk like old communications gear that the Urgar used to build primitive radios. The Urgar were isolated until a Giraptha task force visited their star system on the way to administering another serious ass-whooping to the Theranin. A Giraptha frigate swung past the moon, curious about the truly miserable remnant population of the Urgar. That frigate dumped a huge file of news about what was really going on in the galaxy, including the recent astonishing revelations that lowly humans had been running circles around both senior species with the assistance of an elder AI. The situation on Earth, under the boots of the Krestang Whitewind clan, strongly reminded the Urgar about their own history. The being called Skippy had saved the humans. Could that being be persuaded to do the same for the Urgar? Here's what the Urgar did that was smart. They did not expect Skippy to rescue them for free. They had studied the records provided by the Giraptha, concluding that the Skippy being was an immature, selfish, amoral asshole whose massive yet fragile ego determined every move he made. Damn, I wish the Urgar had been available to give me a heads up about that when I met the beer can on Paradise. So the Urgar sent a message to Skippy via a passing Giraptha cruiser. They wanted to hire him. Not Skippy personally. They wanted to engage the services of Skippy and Associates, a boutique public relations and crisis management firm. Engage them to do what? To show the people of Earth how the Urgar had suffered the fate that humanity had narrowly avoided. To explain that humans should feel extremely, eternally grateful to Skippy that humanity was not enslaved or extinct, and to persuade Earth's public that taking on the Urgar as clients would be a low-cost way to do the right thing. While, you know, giving a middle-finger salute to the entire Max Ulks coalition. What did Skippy get in exchange, other than having a small group of poverty-stricken losers stroking his ego? Bragging rights. In the fiercely competitive cutthroat world of public relations and crisis management, Skippy and Associates were almost unknown before they successfully persuaded the political leaders of Earth to do the right thing, which by pure coincidence was also the overwhelmingly popular thing, and rescue the Urgar. That persuasion was in the form of a, quote, grassroots, end quote, campaign of bots flooding social media, influencers paid to plead the case of the Urgar, and a surprisingly small amount of well-placed bribes. Result? A win-win! The Urgar now have their own continent on their former homeworld that was recently and ironically taken from their former patrons, the Wirgalan. But that's a story for another day. And Skippy and Associates is now widely considered the go-to firm for all your public relations and crisis management needs. The only losers in the whole situation are, of course, the Wirgalan, and also anyone who had to listen to Skippy endlessly bragging about his accomplishment. His audience for boasting did not include the Urgar, because he did not give a shit about what those losers thought. Damn, the Urgar won big, since they not only saved themselves from slavery and eventual extinction, they didn't have to interact with Skippy. I wonder if I can get a sweet deal like that. There it was. Hanging outlined against the dusty reds and browns of a marginably habitable world. The good old Flying Dutchman, version 6.0. A person familiar with any of the previous versions of that space truck that then became a stealthy sensor platform would not recognize it. Even in the UN Navy, which possessed many ships that were much modified versions of their original configurations, the Dutchman was unique. On the nose of the massive warship was painted CVA-14 UNS Flying Dutchman. In its current version, the Dutchman was an assault carrier. Not just an assault carrier, it was an orbital command ship capable of assuming command and control of an entire assault strike force on and around a planet. Why had the UN Navy gone through the enormously complicated and expensive process of carefully cutting apart the original Dutchman and fitting that ship's computer substrate into the hull of a former Jarapha assault carrier? The answer is simple. The Lady Nagatha. The Dutchman's control unit was the most powerful ship AI in the fleet, after Bilby. Nagatha not only had immense processing power, she had something the other ship AIs in the fleet couldn't match. Experience. The conversion of the Dutchman had been a last-minute decision. The UN Navy had planned to park that ship in Earth orbit as a strategic defense control platform. Basically, avoid the expense of upgrading that already unique ship, even avoiding the expense of maintaining the funky, unique jump drives. The drive units would be removed, as there would be no need for the Dutchman to jump anywhere ever again. The Dutchman's salvation came after a joint orbital assault exercise with the Ruhar, where events went embarrassingly wrong for the UN Navy. While the Ruhar efficiently executed their part of the exercise, our ships were badly affected by communications jamming they should have been ready for. The assault drop was a mess, with units dropped all over the surface and ground forces unable to support each other. A Jarapha aggressive force jumping in during the second wave of landings had forced the human ships to scatter. If the exercise had been a real operation, it would have devolved into a slaughter. A Navy inquiry concluded we had the right equipment, the training, and our tactics were solid. Like a losing football team with plenty of talent, the problem was management. Someone needed to be in overall command with excellent situational awareness and with a comm system that could function even through powerful jamming. That required a command ship with a powerful AI. Result, the old Dutchman was granted a reprieve. Sort of. From the outside, the ship now appeared to be an I got something for you right here class Jarapha assault carrier, with a 200-meter section spliced into the center and a bulbous sensor dome on the nose. The ship also had more shield projectors and defensive cannons than typical for an assault carrier. The conversion reduced the ship's dropship capacity by 30%, so the air group consisted of more gunships rather than assault transports. Damn, it was good to see my old ship again, even if I didn't recognize it. I was happy to talk with Nagatha again, until I saw that the Operation Sunset peacekeeping mission had become a low-intensity war on the surface. The Ruhar, who were supposed to be there only to facilitate the Verdkris withdrawal, were engaged in a hot war with the Krestang in pockets scattered all around the planet. Skippy, I released the straps and stood up from the executive officer's chair, an action I realized instantly that was not a good move in a combat situation. Instead of making myself look like an amateur, I straightened my shoulders and faced the main display. What is going on down there? It's a bit confusing. Both sides are blaming the other. All three sides are blaming the others. At this point, it's hard to tell which... Oh, General Perkins is calling for you. That was fast. How did she know I'm aboard the... I informed her as soon as we jumped in. You are now the senior officer in the system. Senior UN officer. Protocol requires an arriving ship to identify... Yeah, of course. Reed, can I use your office for... Certainly, sir. She would be relieved to have the distraction of me off her bridge while she got her ship prepared for possible combat. I'll keep you updated, I said as I walked out the door, and Commander Gasquet slipped back into the first officer's chair. Skippy, tell Bonsu I want to talk with him and his CAG shortly. General Bishop. Perkins' hologram appeared on the desk in Reed's office. The image was about a foot tall with enough detail to be crisp, but still clearly a holographic projection. Skippy would argue the image and his avatar were not actually holograms, and there was some sciencey reason he was right about that. Whatever. Emily, I smiled. Call me Joe, please. Her lips drew together in a tight line. Come on, I added. It's just us. We're both two stars. You have more time in grade, she reminded me. Technically, that was correct. I had been given my second star over 4 years before she pinned hers on. Well, that doesn't matter here. I'm not here to take over from you. Officially, I'm not here at all. Valkyrie's recognition signal indicated the ship is assigned to the special mission group again. What happened? After a moment, she added, Joe, you haven't heard? We're at the ass end of nowhere out here, she explained. Our last contact with a ship from Earth was 6 days ago. Ah, that ship left Earth before we arrived. There's been a development. Not a good one if Task Force Black has been reactivated, if Command has you back in the saddle. It's not good. The short version is there was another attempt to activate a Sentinel. She nodded, the hologram slightly out of sync, so the movement was jerky. The one that is being provided to the Spiders. I heard plans for that. She cocked her head at me. You said attempt. It went sideways? In a major way. Someone or something tried to take control of the Sentinel away from Skippy before the Sentinel was fully awake. Oh, hell. The blood drained from her face. I thought we were done with all that. So did I. You don't know who did it? We have a list of suspects. None of them are anything our Navy can deal with. So, Task Force Black... What do you need from us? First, what happened here? Operation Sunset was supposed to be a sleepy peacekeeping mission, according to the brief. The lizards didn't get that memo. The Verdkris should never have tried to take this rock. It's not strategically important to them, and the supply line is too vulnerable. What they should have done, what we should have encouraged them to do, is... She stopped. You didn't ask about politics. The bottom line is the Krestang were supposed to allow the Verds to conduct a peaceful withdrawal. Officially, they did. Unofficially, grassroots militants among the Krestang, she made air quotes with her fingers, obtained unauthorized weapons and were killing the Verds, who had mostly been disarmed by the Ruhar. We couldn't do much, and the hamsters weren't interested in doing anything. Until a Krestang unit hit a Ruhar ammo dump and blew it up. Why the hell would the lizards do that? She gave me a blank look. Oh, I understood. Risky, but a good move by the Verds. She continued to give me the blank stare. Oh, I winked. I'm sure you were shocked and dismayed by the unfortunate events. It wasn't me, she protested. That's the problem. I really didn't know her well enough to tell her she was lying. At the time of the incident, I was upstairs conferring with the Ruha commander. It surprised us both when we saw the mushroom cloud. Several minor injuries, no deaths. The hamsters are hopping mad. I wasn't happy about it.
So who?
All I can say is when Dave Chaika and Shauna Coulter are left unsupervised, they can get into mischief.
Dave.
Yes.
Your husband. She gritted her teeth.
For the moment. Without getting into your private business, can I point out that you trained them?
She sighed.
That is exactly what Dave told me.
Wow. I couldn't help laughing, leaning my chair back. Are you familiar with the expression, what goes around comes around? She gritted her teeth again, but there was a twinkle in her eyes.
I am well aware of the irony involved. I now also know how General Ross felt when he heard about some creative stunt I got into without prior authorization.
Oh, I'm sure he's forgotten all about it by now. Maybe send him a nice fruit basket someday.
Now you know the situation here. I've got the Ruhar and Kristang shooting at each other, the hamsters are rearming the Verds, and I can't take sides. The withdrawal is completely stalled, and the Kristang are calling for the Theranin to intervene because they claim we violated the treaty. All I have is the Dutchman and two frigates, plus a single battalion that is really two understrength companies. So, she let out a long breath and brushed her hair back with a hand. How can I help you?
Well, now this is just awkward.
Sir?
There wasn't any pretense of us being old friends, because we weren't. I respected her. I liked her. We just didn't know each other well. Our one personal connection was Dave Chaika, who might have been sleeping on the couch until his wife's anger cooled. This is where it does get official. Perkins, I need to requisition the Dutchman for a while.
What?
I'm trying to track down a hostile actor that might be an Elder AI. The Dutchman has the second-best ship AI in the fleet and a top-notch sensor suite. We need to find and neutralize, or at least find and make contact with the damn thing before it does something worse than trying to steal a Sentinel. After the incident, we raced to Earth in case the Sentinels there got hacked.
Oh my god, they're fine.
Unaffected. Skippy checked them. Same with Jaguar. Pup Tart is fine. Perkins, I hate to leave you shorthanded. Two frigates are not enough combat power to provide a credible deterrent. Someone like the Theranin could use this as an opportunity to settle a score. They would be in the right to do that since we violated the treaty.
They can't prove that. DEFCOM would figure out the truth quickly enough. Command wouldn't throw a lot of resources here into a fight that wasn't supposed to happen.
Shit. Could you withdraw your force now?
Well, I know you have a mission, but the potential of a hostile Elder AI changes everything. You will probably receive orders to pull out soon. Command will want to adopt a defensive posture.
And pull back to where?
The Dutchman is the only platform we have that could accommodate our battalion. If you're requisitioning our only assault carrier, can you bring in a cruiser first? Some significant combat power?
I don't have time for that. The nearest UN Navy assets are...
Skippy, where is the closest Navy unit?
He spoke without his avatar. Having his hologram next to Perkins's might have felt weird to him. There are two cruisers and a destroyer squadron at Podesta. That is a 56-hour flight from here. Plus 56 hours for a return flight, of course.
Almost 5 days.
More than 5 days with turnaround time.
Thanks, Skippy.
Perkins, that idea is a no-go. I'm sorry about this. Leaving a hostile entity roaming around for another 5 days is not an option. The trail is growing cold already. She pursed her lips. She knew the special mission group was authorized to pull in other units as needed. A threat to the entire galaxy outweighed the risks to a single battalion.
I don't suppose you could transfer your command to the Dutchman and leave Valkyrie here?
No. I would really like to also take your two frigates with me as sensor pickets, but I won't do that.
When is your next contact with Earth scheduled?
A star carrier will pass by the system in 9 days. That is a long time to be without major combat power overhead.
Would it help if Valkyrie struck targets on the ground before we leave? We could...
Nah, that's a bad idea, isn't it?
A terrible idea, sir. Overtly breaking the treaty would leave my forces open to retaliation by anyone in the Maxulk's coalition.
Hell, this is... Give me a minute. I'll be right back. Pressing a button on the desk, I froze her hologram and muted the microphone on my end.
Skippy?
Yes, what is it this time?
How would you like an opportunity to screw with some lizards?
unofficially, if yous know what I mean. I'm not sure I knows what yous mean, Joe. Hypothetically, if the IT infrastructure of the Hateful Lizards down there suffered a catastrophic failure, would that leave them less able to conduct offensive operations? Oh, that would be unfortunate. You know, Joe, the Lizards here have been shamefully remiss in maintaining their cybersecurity. That's how Dave and Shauna were able to get Nagatha to hack into... which I just realized I wasn't supposed to know about and wasn't supposed to tell you. What? Sorry, the audio glitched for a moment. Something about cyber systems? It's just awful down there, Joe. Really, I'm surprised the whole thing hasn't fallen apart already. Uh-huh. That sounds like a dangerous situation. Does that vulnerability extend to their military systems? Aircraft, missile guidance systems, that sort of thing? Sadly, it does. You know, it might be good for someone to demonstrate to the Lizards just how vulnerable their systems are. In the long run, you would be doing them a favor.
Ugh, that's the problem. I hate doing favors for Lizards.
Well, you're not doing anything anyway, as far as I know, right? In fact, nothing is happening right now, as far as you know. Well, since nothing is happening, I'll get back to my conversation with Perkins. Pressing a button again, I unfroze her hologram. Sorry about that, Emily. I used her first name again deliberately as a signal. Like, everything was fine. We're just having a friendly, casual conversation between colleagues. Skippy alerted me to a cybersecurity problem the Lizards down there are having. He's monitoring the situation.
Monitoring it until it begs for mama?
Skippy chuckled. Skippy, you are not doing anything, as we agreed.
Oh, yes, I'm not doing anything.
Although if I was doing something, I should be warning the Lizards about a serious problem with their missile warhead activation software, among other things. Perkins cocked her head at me. What is going on? Nothing, I told her. As far as you know. General Bishop, let me make this clear. You know nothing. Understood? I don't know anything. She flinched. The hologram flickered, and the audio cut out for a moment. What the hell was that? She turned to direct the question to someone out of my view.
Sadly, Skippy answered her question, the Spotted Frog Clan's main airbase at Klukagang has exploded.
General Perkins, were you aware the Lizards had two atomic compression weapons stored in a bunker there? Atomic? She was genuinely shocked. Where did the Lizards get those weapons?
The Lizards were very, very naughty, Skippy chuckled. They are not supposed to have such weapons.
I believe their patrons will be unhappy to learn just how disobedient their clients were. Those two warheads were old. They must have been looted from the wreckage of a Theranan warship centuries ago. In fact, it is likely the Lizards found a severely disabled Theranan warship, killed the crew, then looted the Hulk. It is a pity the Lizards were not aware of the proper procedures for safe storage of such powerful weapons. The good news is the planet will have some spectacular sunsets for several months as dust from the explosion filters through the stratosphere. Perkins looked me straight in the eye. You nuked a military base of a species we are not at war with?
Hey, Skippy protested. Joe didn't do anything. He is a doofus. Also, atomic compression warheads were developed at great expense precisely because they are not nukes. There is no hazardous radiation.
Well, no radiation other than the short-lived high-energy particles from the immediate explosion. Nothing that lingers. So, those weapons don't violate the rules that govern warfare between the Maxalks and Rindaloo coalitions. This was an unprovoked act of war, she insisted. That... She covered her face with a hand for a moment. Okay, yes, I know how ironic it is that I said that. It was an accident, I said quietly.
It wasn't just an accident.
Skippy could not keep his mouth shut. Then he redeemed himself.
It was an accident waiting to happen.
Considering how the Lizards neglected to perform any sort of preventative maintenance on those janky weapons, I'm surprised they hadn't detonated years ago.
Well, I shrugged. It's lucky for us that they waited for a convenient time to explode, if you know what I mean.
I looked Perkins straight in the eye as I said that. The explosion, Skippy continued, appears to have severely affected the clan's command and control systems also. All of their comms are down.
Hard.
Could be months before their headquarters can reestablish effective direct coordination between units in the field.
Oh,
and I am now intercepting chatter within the clan. It appears that second-tier clan leaders are dismayed by the reckless negligence of their senior officials. Joe, assassinations of multiple senior clan leaders are being planned.
Darn! No one could have foreseen that disrupting their clan's command structure would lead to internal violence, right?
Well, it's too bad that we can't interfere in the internal affairs of a sovereign species. Perkins, I'm sure you're gonna be busy.
Hoo boy, yes she is. The Ruhar Admiral is screaming for an explanation.
General Bishop, her shoulders sagged. Is there any room for me aboard Valkyrie? Unfortunately, we're full. Maybe, she muttered, I'll apply to the Ruhar for political asylum. Before you do that, I suggest you let Dave and Shauna out of the doghouse.
She shrugged.
Why not? By comparison, what they did was a minor prank. Emily, even compared to a lot of shit you have done, what they did was a minor prank.
True enough.
See? I grinned. Everywhere I go, I spread peace and harmony.
Skippy laughed. Peace and harmony by the megaton.
Ending the call with Perkins, I contacted Colonels Bonsu and Strebik. They were standing by for my call. General Bishop, Irene Strebik spoke first. While her husband was commanding officer of the Flying Dutchman, she was commander of the ship's air group, meaning Derek was in charge of the ship while the dropships and their pilots reported to her. Strebik, Bonsu, we are on short time, so I'll make this quick. The special mission group has been reactivated, and I am requisitioning the Dutchman, effective immediately. The appropriate official orders are being transmitted to you now. Bonsu, prepare to break orbit. Strebik, land your dropships and their personnel. They won't be needed on this mission, and their firepower could come in handy dirt side while you're away. Bonsu didn't speak. His expression was a resigned, here we go again. Strebik glanced to her husband, then,
Sir, how long will I be on the surface?
I need to send provisions for...
Load your dropships with whatever they can carry, but do it fast. I expect DEFCOM to cancel Operation Sunset soon and pull the battalion off the surface. There are events going on that I will brief both of you on.
Strebik, you will not be going dirtside with your people.
No?
Sir? She added as an afterthought.
Where will I be?
You will be coming aboard Valkyrie as our new CAG. She blinked.
Valkyrie is a battlecruiser. There isn't a billet for a CAG. You don't have an air group.
There's a billet open now, I just said so. Pack your personal gear and get ready to fly over here. Bonsu, I want you to break orbit in 2 hours. Is that doable?
That, he looked to his wife.
Is it possible to get the entire air group launched in 2 hours?
No, not on this short notice.
She shook her head.
But, General Bishop, the situation is bad enough to stand up Task Force Black again?
I would use the word catastrophic instead of merely bad, I answered.
Well, then fuck it, she spat out the words. We'll get everything launched if I have to push the birds out the door by hand. General, can I fly over to Valkyrie after we jump?
Sure. You'll be busy. Derek appeared to have accepted his fate.
General, can you tell us what is going on? An airbase dirt side just became a mushroom cloud.
That wasn't you? Let's just say that Valkyrie didn't fire a shot.
Oh, he knew what I meant.
As to what is going on in the galaxy beyond the rock below us, someone attempted to steal a sentinel we were activating.
Oh, shit.
We think there's a good possibility another Elder AI is out there, and it's hostile. He reached for his wife's hand.
I thought we were done with this bullshit.
That optimism may have been premature. His face registered an unspoken, you think? After ending the call with the Dutchman, I pinged Reed to come to her office. When she arrived, I had gotten out of a chair.
Can I ask what,
she bit her lip, suppressing what she really wanted to say,
happened down there?
Sir? Skippy gave the lizards a valuable lesson on the importance of properly maintaining your gear, especially the type of gear that can go boom.
Oh.
She wasn't actually surprised. She knew me. She knew Skippy. With a shrug, she added,
If you don't schedule time to maintain your equipment, the equipment will schedule the time for you.
Exactly. As a bonus, the shooting between the lizards and hamsters should be on hold for a while, as the lizard leadership gets busy killing each other.
A fortunate coincidence.
One that frees up the combat power of the Dutchmen, which will be coming with us. Reed, have your XO set up quarters for a colonel, please.
Irene Strebick will be coming aboard as the air group commander.
We, she blinked, don't have an air group. We have 10 dropships.
She didn't bother to comment. Then, her mouth opened in a silent O.
Strebick was your XO for a while when Sims had her own command.
Exactly.
She knows how to handle Valkyrie, Reed noted, if something happens to me.
She knows how to work with me, I added. Tell Gasquet not to worry. Strebick will stay out of his way.
Sir, Strebick has more time in grade than I do.
Yes, and she also commanded a cruiser before she decided she wanted to be a CAG. She missed flying, is my guess.
That was a nice setup, being on the same ship as her husband.
DEFCOM is delivering on that people care initiative. Strebick understands Valkyrie is your ship. There won't be a conflict.
Sir, you realize we will have 3 colonels aboard.
I do. The 3 of you can form a club.
She made a sour face. I am not joining Frey's book club. They're reading War and Peace. The book weighs,
she pantomimed, lifting something heavy, like 20 pounds. I would get tired just holding the thing. Spoiler alert, I think there's a lot more war than peace in that book.
Well, you and Strebick could start a bird-watching club. There are no birds in space, sir.
Then, I grinned, the club won't take up too much of your time.